Dr. Energy, let's hear about anxiety or something you stepped into with anxiety, overlooking it or jumping into it. What's your story?
I stepped into something the other day, but I wasn't anxious about it. It just smelled really bad. No, no, I'm just kidding.
I kind of thought you were going to say
I couldn't resist that when you said step into something. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Joe, Dr. Energy Piazza, and...
Rara is in the house. Catherine is Sarah Myers.
Welcome back to BU Network Podcast, Conversations Worth Having. On our podcast, you can expect three things. The BU guest moment, which is a highlight from the guest that you heard leading off the show. The BU moment, and the BU final moment, sort of what we call our takeaway moment.
As promised, we are going to give you a special audible. On each show, your job, well, not really your job, but the thing that we ask you to do is to find it. You know the game, Where is Waldo? Well, here we ask you to listen for the audible.
Dr. Energy, let's go right into our BU moment. I want to know what you're doing, what you're looking at. I want to know what you're wearing, what you're thinking. Let's get real. Tell me a little bit and tell our audience a little bit about what's happening for you at this moment.
Sure, that'd be awesome. So, you know, this weekend has been a busy weekend. I spent a good portion of it actually doing my recertification for my emergency first aid and CPR.
You know, oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was a lot of time. It was good to remind myself and to remember, you know, if an emergency happens, how to be able to help out. It was a lot of fun. I got to do it with a couple of colleagues, so it was good times. We had a really good time. So today, you know, I was feeling a little overloaded mentally, you know, with having been in learning mode all most of the weekend. So I'm pretty casual today, just, you know, a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. My apartment, the heat has already been turned on. I don't have control of it, so it's a little warm in my apartment, even with the windows open, and it's the beginning of October here. So I'm trying to be casual and just staying cool.
I'm wondering why you're wearing shorts. It's cool outside.
It was actually almost 20 degrees Celsius today here in Ottawa. So it was a pretty nice day.
Yes, it was pretty similar with the weather here as well. It was beautiful. And yes, the heats are on.
Yes. So how about yourself? What are you doing? What's going on?
Okay, I heard you were just about to say, what are you wearing? But it seems different when I ask you than when you ask me.
It doesn't sound as good when I ask, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah. But I would have known how you meant it. So
we'll just leave the conversation right there. Because again, as we've said before, this is not 50 Shades of Grey.
No, but let me tell you, it's navy blue, just so you know. Okay. So my BU moment is I'm standing in my bridge room. And I am looking at the interior greenery that I have because I like to surround myself with plants to have more oxygen. I'm having this amazing frankincense oil infused tonight. I chose this one because it was great. I guess it was a choice that I made without really thinking. I thought about the choice, but I didn't realize with the subject it was very apropos. So that's very grounding. I have my 7.5-pound dumbbell right here, my best friend in this room. The reason why this is my best friend in this room, as you know, it keeps my mind in rote behavior for exercise. Does that make sense?
Sure.
It is there. No matter what, it
becomes a habit.
That's right. It's a great habit to have. Also, one of the things that I surrounded myself with today,
a particular sound.
Exactly. This sound has some very, very fond memories because I picked up this item when you and I were both in Salt Lake City
I remember.
Back in 2013. So that's an anchor for me tonight, because that brought back a really special moment. And one of the other things I surrounded myself with tonight before the show was some great vocal exercises that our guest shared with us. And that really helped. It helped because it made me think about one of the things I never really did when I was little, which was riding a bike. Mm-hmm. It made me think about opening my voice.
Right.
And that gives us a lot more confidence when we are speaking to know that our voice is going to be heard. And the final thing that I'd like to talk about for my BU moment is I'm in a 30-day challenge. I was going to say gratitude challenge, yoga challenge.
So it becomes a habit, doesn't it?
It is. It's how I live. It's a 11-year gratitude challenge that I've been signed up for with just part of my life. But what I did is I signed up for my yoga studio, a 30-day yoga challenge.
Okay.
So I committed to taking a yoga class every day for the next 30 days, starting the 1st of October.
You've done this before, I think.
Oh, numerous times before. I do it. When I first joined yoga, I did the 90-day.
90 days, yoga. That's what I thought, yeah.
And then I went on to do 10 months of yoga. It was because I don't know when to stop it, right?
Became a habit.
Yes. Oh, it was definitely a habit. So what I did is in the last 6 days, I was at my studio every day. And if you're not at the studio and you get to your mat at home, it's still considered part of the challenge,
right?
Because it's as long as you get to your mat. Right. So I take the different classes that are there so I can do yoga or Pilates or yin or a stretch and surrender class. And that's a great community feeling because we go into the classroom and I know I'm in it for 30 days or more, but I know it's 30 days and I just feel so good about it. There's no decision. Am I not going? Can I not do this class? Is this class really hard? So what I brought to my bridge room tonight was a sense of commitment. And I'll say this, the class is so hard on Sundays that I always think, this is a new teacher for me, a new instructor. Can I really do this? And the feeling in my stomach is, I don't even know if I could breathe because it's such a hard class. And tonight on the way out, here's what cinched the deal, that I am going to the class. The instructor said, oh, you know, the weather has changed and we're not in the same kind of midriff top. So sometimes we eat a little bit differently. She's 5'9" and probably 125 pounds. And I said, and when you're my age, and I told her my age, I said, you try 3 and 4 times as hard. And she said, well, I take you for 48. I said, see you next Sunday.
Bless you.
That's it. My new best friend. I am never not going to the Sunday class at 1:30 because when she said that, the adrenaline and the endorphins that were released were, wow, 48. Okay, you mean every time when I was doing child's pose, I looked like a 48-year-old because I couldn't do everything else that was going on. So I do child pose so good. I look 15 years younger,
That's one of my favorite poses.
Isn't it?
Yep. It's great.
And when you do it actively, it is a really good pose. Where you stretch your arms. So I did that today, and it's part of my commitment. And it feels really good to know that not only am I going to do this challenge, I am not going to switch the class because it's hard, because I can find my results week to week, knowing if I feel more or less sick to my stomach when I'm doing that class.
If you happen to feel a little bit anxious about it.
Exactly. Well, I definitely found a way to overcome that in the yoga room, and that is close my eyes, breathe deeply, and step right into it.
Commit to it, right?
Yes. Yes. So thank you. That's awesome. Exactly where I'm at.
Excellent. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. Thank you so much for being with us, Gloria. I appreciate your time and your clarity. There's so much that you have to offer our audience. And as a friend, I want to thank you, because reflecting back on the things that we've done over the last, oh my gosh, decade, and maybe more recently what our current experiences have been, it's been an amazing journey for us. So I want to thank you for being with us. That's very important to Dr. Energy and I.
Yes, absolutely.
I really appreciate it. And I do thank you also for giving me the opportunity to be on this podcast with you to talk about such a fantastic topic. I'm just so excited about this.
You know, not too many people would be, but we know that your heart is in the right place. And it seemed like you would give crystal clear messages to the subject. So our audience may not know what that is. So let's reveal, you know, I can imagine being in an art gallery and we're unveiling this piece of art. And tonight, Gloria, you will be unveiling with us the subject of anxiety.
Yes.
There's a TV show that comes to mind. There are certain songs that, what was that, Dr. Energy? What song was that?
From the Twilight Zone.
Right. Or remember Perry Mason? That was a little scary too.
That one? And, and the Mel Brooks movie? Do you remember the Mel Brooks movie? High Anxiety?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. Oh, I have to look that one up.
Very funny. Harvey Korman is absolutely hilarious.
And see, that's where anxiety, see, we could laugh about anxiety. Now that says something about us, our audience, no judgment to our audience. We're laughing about
because
we absolutely know that you have to laugh it off at times. But let me ask you, Gloria, if you were to give an opening sentence about anxiety to us, to our audience, friends sitting around in a circle, in a square, what would you say?
Well, anxiety, I actually had to look this up because we know what we experience, but how do you define it? And so I went to the internet and I got a very good description or definition of anxiety. In positive psychology, anxiety is described as the mental state that results from a difficult challenge for which the subject has insufficient coping skills. I had a lot of other definitions, but for some reason, this one resonated with me because really anxiety is anticipation of something that will happen. And if we don't know what will happen, we obviously don't know how to handle it or cope with it.
Right. So some of us, Gloria, can go into that with more confidence than others, I guess, right?
Right.
Yes. And anxiety has such a wide range of feelings and reactions that it just depends on the level of anxiety. And there are so many different types of anxiety. And people cope depending on their coping skills. They cope depending on their level of anxiety. And like I said, there are so many descriptions of anxieties.
Do you think we can do a little bit of a little digging here? Mm-hmm. Couldn't we talk a little bit about a situation that we don't know what the outcome would be, but yet one that we went into?
Yes, well, actually, in researching this topic, I realized that I suffered from anxiety when I first came to Canada. So can I talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. That'd be a great story.
Okay. Yes, please.
So, and at the time, I didn't know what it was. I was just new in Canada. And these unusual, unfamiliar feelings were just rushing me. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't have my family here, so I had no family support. I didn't know a lot of people. And at the time, I didn't know there were even services for this sort of stuff, because where I came from, we didn't have these resources available. So I didn't have family support. I didn't know a lot of people that I can talk to about it. And I didn't know there were services. And looking back now, I think if I had known people, would I have talked to them about it? Probably not, because I thought it was something that was unique to me,
right,
that I was suffering from, and, you know, was I going crazy, and, you know, what would my family say, and so forth. So, and like I said, I wouldn't have talked about it because this is unique to me. I didn't think anybody else in the world was going through what I was going through. So it was very difficult to experience, especially alone. And I know there's a lot of people in Toronto, in Canada, in the world who are experiencing some level of anxiety that they don't know what to do or if they should talk about it.
Right.
So And I, in doing the research for this podcast, I found out that according to Statistics Canada, 37% of those suffering from this type of disorder do not seek treatment, even though anxiety disorders are highly treatable. And they probably don't seek treatment because of the stigma attached to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gloria, as you were saying that, I was wondering, why did I choose my frankincense oil tonight? It must have been because I wanted to make sure that anxiety didn't enter the room. Normally, it's peppermint that I'm using in the room, but today it had to be something to do with my nervous system. So that must show you I didn't want to get anxious about that.
Right.
So let me ask you another way. Can we thank you for that, because you didn't know about that and that kind of crept up on you. But what about an instance where we walked into something not knowing what the outcome would be, a decision that we made knowing that there would be some anxiety? So for example, you know, driving a car, but that was basic. I'm looking for something a little bit different, because I don't know what the answer is for me yet either. I'll come up with it. I'll have to think about it. But whoever wants to go first, if we can share that with our audience, might be a little personal, but it'll show something about our personalities.
Right. I would continue on with my story, because there was a lot I didn't realize that I had this story in me until I was doing some research for this podcast.
Okay, tell us.
That's awesome.
Looking back, I thought it was a blessing in disguise that I didn't know of external resources because I was forced to be introspective to solve my own situation. So here I was, new to the country, new to the environment, new to this feeling, and didn't know what to expect and where to go. And that's not to minimize this or not to minimize people who are going through this, but I would say it's like going for an interview. You are going for this interview because you want a job, but you don't know how the interview will turn out.
Right.
And that causes a lot of anxiety. And most people do not really do well on interviews because of this anxiety.
Right. They say that sometimes people have that, what do they call it? Lab coat.
The white coat syndrome with doctors, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, Gloria, tell us a little bit more, because this is a story that you just discovered. So I feel like you want us to know.
I do want to know more. This is really good.
and I hope in telling my story, people who are experiencing anxiety will know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, because there were a lot of aha moments I discovered in retrospect.
Beautiful.
So what I started doing at the time was I started writing, because I love writing. At the time, it wasn't called journaling. It was just called writing. And what I did was I wrote consistently for about a year. And in the process, I discovered a lot about me and why I was feeling this way and, you know, what caused it. You know, what about me that was causing it? And I have to say that I didn't blame myself for anything, because you can't blame yourself for something you didn't know about.
Right.
And it was important for me to make certain defined decisions about what was going on. So I discovered a lot about me. I discovered my interactions in childhood and adult life, my thoughts about religion and society and education, my observation of human life, where my childhood dreams were, my potential and my reality. Now, to do this, I had to be very honest with myself and my feelings and don't sugarcoat anything, because it was for my eyes only. So I put myself out buck naked as such and just exposed myself to what I was feeling and not, like I said, not hide anything. It is a very difficult thing to do, and not a lot of people can do it. But I don't know. I was in this zone and it just happened. It wasn't something that I planned. And I'm glad that that happened, because in the process, like I said, I discovered myself. And what was also happening at the time was I found that I was spending less time thinking about these feelings of anxiety and feeling more confident about myself. So it was a self-discovery period for me. It was, like I said, an aha moment. I didn't know what it all meant, but I just know I started to feel good about myself. And most importantly, I was realizing that I was worthwhile in spite of my reality. And this is what I want our listeners to know, that regardless of their reality, they are still worthwhile. They may have to dig down deep to find out what their worth is so that they can believe it. We are not going to believe all the time what people tell us about ourselves, you know, because we know that in some cases they are not telling us the truth. We have to discover that truth for ourselves. And this is, I honestly hope that the listeners will start to find out what, where their worth lies.
That's awesome. Sorry, go ahead, Catherine.
No, I was going to say, thank you. That's a great message for our audience to find out where their worth lies. That's a great message. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just a couple of observations, you know, Gloria, what you're talking about, how when you first came to Canada about not realizing you could talk to people about, or not sure you even wanted to, you know, that's sort of the impetus behind the Bell initiative, the Let's Talk, right?
That's right.
It's taking the stigma away from these types of health issues, and taking away the veil so that people can talk about it in the open. Yes. I think that's one of the big, you know, we talk freely about our physical ailments with people all the time, especially you hear it, especially with retired people, right? They're sitting around and everybody's like competing to see who's got the biggest issue, right? So we talk about those things all the time, but we never tend to talk about our mental and emotional or psychological
That's
health.
Right.
So to be able to talk about it is really, really good. And this is one of the reasons that Catherine and I really started the BU Network podcast, was to help get other people's stories out there to people who need to hear them, so that we can realize that we are not alone, that there are other people going through the same things as we are, and that you're not alone, and two, there is help, and three, it will end. You know, this too is passing. So
that's right.
So yes. this was very wonderful that you shared this story, and that you were able to, for yourself, discover this story inside of you, just in preparing for this podcast as well. That's pretty awesome.
Yes. So there were serendipitous benefits to doing this podcast. So again, thank you.
Yes.
I learned about myself again.
Well, Gloria, that's because you are so thorough, and that is the way you approach things with your whole self in entirety. You don't just do it. You really do it.
And I really do it.
Right, with your preparation and coming up with this, this is a great story, because had we not discussed this with you, maybe you would have discovered the story some other way, but we certainly have, you know, the history that we just made here with BU and you, is that this emerged from doing this. And I love that, because this will be part of our history as well.
Exactly.
And yes.
That's fantastic, because in our first series of emotions, and in our previous podcast, by the way, Gloria, you will hear what all the emotions are pertaining to our earlier conversation. So yes, please tune in. But if you listen to the previous one, we'll tell you what they are. But in preparing for this, you were able to now have this story, and I'm certain you will tell the story again. I don't think it will appear.
No, it wouldn't. And you know, this is what we need to do. We all have stories within us, and our story could benefit someone else.
Yes.
Like a lot of people have shared stories with me over my lifetime that have benefited me. And I, you know, I think this is something that we all need to do. And it's because of our upbringing, regardless of which part of the world we came from, because I have a lot of international clients. And regardless of which part of the world they came from, their stories, just like ours, are universal. They resonate with everybody, because it's the same emotions, same situations, but different, maybe different culture, different personalities, but it's the same thing we all experience.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's now. See, I was going to tell a story, but I don't even want to now after that. But
I will.
Okay. I was just trying to be slightly humorous because your story is phenomenal. It's great.
Thank you.
Joe, do you have a moment in your life? And I'm not asking you to go next. I just want to know if you have a moment in your life, because I thought of one, actually. Gloria was talking, and it came to me. Do you have a moment in your life where you have a situation where you didn't know the outcome, but yet you went into it, stepped into it?
Sure. But okay. I'd like to hear yours first.
Oh, yes. I'm going to tell you mine. Okay. So let's see if I can do this with some humor, because it is a humorous moment. So I'd like to paint the picture. First, I'd like to paint the picture by saying, I'm not a swimmer. So that will tell you the first thing. Now, when I say I'm not a swimmer, that doesn't mean I don't go in the pool and splash and I can't go from one end to the next. And I love noodles and little boards, but I can still swim. I don't wear nose plugs or goggles, but, you know, I really don't like water in my nose. So, okay, you know that. I don't really like doing that. But I have been going to pools all my life. So I preface that. Now, second, when my husband and I met on our very first date, we were in Club Med, Eleuthera. And that was an amazing opportunity to really to meet him. It's not why I didn't go there for that. I was with my daughter, who's with the sons. But on our second date, we went to Jamaica. Some people go to restaurants. That's not what we did. So we went to Jamaica, and we're on a catamaran. And now I told you I'm not a swimmer, so I'm on a catamaran, which is fine because I love the water. And
you're on a boat. You're not swimming.
Exactly. Lots of people in Jamaica in a foreign place where I know no one. I don't know the waters. None of that was affecting me. I had, you know, love written all over me. So it was time to go snorkeling because that was the point of the catamaran.
Right.
And I thought, well, I'll deal with that when it happens, you know, when we get there. It was a snorkeling catamaran. So now it's time to go and look at these beautiful fish, which I really had no interest in going to look at. But I didn't really care because, again, I was just so enamored with the fact that this was our marvelous, wonderful date. So now I put everything on, which consists of a goggle, a big mask, mm-hmm. and some flippers, and they say, okay, now just go jump right over here and you will see these magnificent fish. So David didn't know me very well. He knew me enough that we went to Jamaica, and I said, can you hold my hand? And he's looking at me like, aren't we going to jump in the water?
Yeah.
He said, sure. Why? I said, just hold my hand and don't let go. And he says, okay. And we jump in the water, and I say, I don't swim. And he's like, you what? I said, I don't swim. Just hold my hand. Now, that was an amazing leap of faith.
For both of you.
Absolutely. Because he didn't ask any more questions other than, okay, until we get in the water. So that was the basis of our trust. And there was a little bit of anxiety, but really not much, because when I said, you won't let go of my hand, right? Now, I didn't ask him if he could swim. But I assumed that being a Pisces and being on the catamaran, he would not have taken me there if he didn't swim. Right. So I went by straight intuition. That's my story about anxiety.
And trust.
Good. Sorry?
And trust.
Oh, yes, right. Anxiety and trust. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it wasn't my last time on a catamaran, and I have gone snorkeling before, and he does hold my hand. That is a prerequisite. And I will just tell you one more part to that. So fast forward 33 years later, I have taught one of my grandchildren, assisted teaching one of my grandchildren to swim.
In a pool.
Yes, in a swimming pool.
Yes.
Exactly, with life jackets and preservers. Okay, that's the end of the story. Joe, tell us a little bit about, unless you have something you wanted to add or say.
No, that's just, you know, a wonderful example of how, you know, anxiety often takes us out of the present moment, right? It takes us, because we get so worried about what might or might not happen. We get ourselves so worked up over it that it takes us out of being able to experience the present moment for what it is and to be really paying attention to what's going on. And so your story is just such an example of when trust in you had the anxiety, but you trusted and you put faith in yourself and David in this case, and it kept you in the present moment. We're able to still experience the moment. So that's, you know, that's really awesome.
Thank you. It is. There's lots more that goes along with that. It's for another time. Maybe we'll all go out for dinner and we'll have a tea together and I'll share some more of that. But thank you. I thought of it when you were speaking, Gloria. So thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Dr. Energy, let's hear about anxiety or something you stepped into with anxiety, overlooking it or jumping into it. What's your story?
I stepped into something the other day, but I wasn't anxious about it. It just smelled really bad. No, I'm just kidding.
I kind of thought you were going to say
I that. I couldn't resist that when you said step into something. You know.
Yes.
So there was a time, you know, recently, within the last couple of years, when I actually decided to move to Ottawa from Toronto. I had been going through some really, I don't know what's the word, inner turmoil in my life. Wasn't sure where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do. And I was out for a walk one night, actually an evening, much like today has been here in Ottawa, kind of blustery and overcast, that autumn smell in the air. And I'd been working at the computer all day and I just needed to get outside. So I went for a walk later in the evening before it was time to start getting ready for bed and all that kind of stuff. And I was out for this walk and walking through the neighborhood, just, you know, being in the moment turning over all these things in my mind, where do I want to go, what I want to do. I'm not really feeling fulfilled in where I'm at in my life and those types of things. And all of a sudden it came to me, it said, move to Ottawa. And although I was anxious about it, the anxiousness actually came later, after I'd already made the decision to move to Ottawa. Because in that moment, I made the commitment to move to Ottawa. You know, Dr. Tony, who I work with here in Ottawa, we'd been joking for 5 or 7 years or so or more before that about me coming to Ottawa and practicing with him. And then I called him the next day after being out for that walk and said, "Hey, I'm moving to Ottawa." And there was only silence on the other end of the phone. And he was totally, totally gobsmacked. He didn't know what to say. He said, "I'll call you back in a bit." And he actually had to go out for a walk in the woods just to absorb it all and integrate it all. So in that moment when I made that decision, I was totally committed and I totally knew it was this feeling of peace settled over me. And I knew it was the right, decision. And the anxiety actually came afterwards, wondering, oh my God, I'm going to have to start a practice from scratch. All these things about moving there, finding an apartment and getting set up in practice and et cetera, all these different things and closing and selling my old practice in Toronto area and all these things. And I was like, hey, just trust in the moment. So because as soon as I started getting worried about all the stuff that was to come, it took me out of the moment and I couldn't even enjoy where I was at. And so it's interesting how sometimes you have the anxiety and then come to the commitment. And then sometimes you actually get the anxiety after you make the decision and the commitment, worrying about what the heck did I just commit to? But
is that a delayed reaction?
Yeah, exactly. You don't, who know? I don't know if it's a delayed reaction or if it's just, you know, it's like I said, sometimes you make a commitment and you go, oh shit. Did I just say, oh poop. What did I just commit to?
Well, if I'm doing the timeline on that, does that mean that you decided at this time of year and then it took you 6, 7, 8 months to actually move?
No, I actually decided it would have been probably about almost 2 months after this. So it would have been like end of November, beginning of December, something like that. at the time. And then it took me, so that would have been, yeah, it took me about another 18 months after that to, I think it was, right. to get everything in place and
right.
work out all the details and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And there are anxieties that are attached to that, because you have timelines, you have movers, you have to exactly. get the space there. So it's not only what you have to upend here, mm-hmm. but the arrangements you have to make at the other end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now looking back at that, mm-hmm. how does that feel for you?
Oh, it feels amazing. I love living in Ottawa, and it really helped me to, like Gloria was telling in her story about the introspection. It's allowed me a lot of time and space mm-hmm. to really rediscover who I am and who I want to be and legacy I want to leave in this world and what I want to contribute while I'm here, all of those things.
And you certainly are creating a legacy. And can we give our audience maybe one of the strategies that we used in order to work through it, with it being anxiety? So what was one of the things that you did, Joe, to work through that anxiety, whether it be physical or emotional mm-hmm. or spiritual?
So one of the biggest things for me is just when I start to, my mind starts to run away with me, as it were, I first of all, you have to become aware that that's what's happening in the moment. And because usually what happens, your breath gets a little short and it feels like your heart's pounding a little bit faster than usual. And for me, it's just becoming aware of that and then stopping in the moment, taking a couple of nice deep breaths, usually in through the nose and out through the mouth. I find that to be the most calming and grounding breath. And then just noticing what I'm feeling in the moment and saying, okay, here's what I'm experiencing, and not trying to, not letting myself get carried away with like all the different thoughts. Okay, here's what I'm feeling in my body right now. So just becoming aware of and noticing the sensations in my body. Where do I feel the breath in my body? Where do I not feel it in my body? How can I feel it in that space if I'm not feeling it there? So the breath really helps me recenter, refocus, and calm myself down.
That's a great strategy. Thank you. Gloria, would you like to share a strategy with our audience?
Sure. What I do is, especially if I am at home more often than not, if I don't have clients and I'm not out and about, I have to leave home, because I feel as though the whole world is closing in on me. And what I like to think, it's because my world extends up to the ceiling, so I have to get out of here. And I would go for a long walk, a long brisk walk, where my ceiling is the sky, and so I have more space to breathe, more space to think and to be introspective. And then, you know, while I'm walking, it's very therapeutic for me when I'm walking, because I'm able to think also. And I see things very clearly. And by the time I get back home, I do some journaling and some meditation. And it really puts me back to normalcy, some type of normalcy.
That's another very, very good strategy.
There's a couple of strategies in there, I think.
Ha ha. You'll have to guess what that is, but you don't have to guess now. That's our audible for tonight. Let me share. Yes, Lord Gloria, there were more than one strategy. There was more than one strategy there.
Thank you.
I would like to give you the strategy that I used at that moment when I was snorkeling, because I have different strategies that I use today for different things. But that day, and I remember it very clearly, I thought about the big picture. And the big picture was, wow, I have never felt this before, and I want to hold his hand and do something together that is going to be amazing. And this has to be amazing, because we're going to make it amazing.
Right.
And I totally thought about the big picture at the big ocean. The fact that I was in this thing that was so enormous that I thought nothing's going to happen. Like, I didn't even think about what would happen. I thought about the joy of it, to be honest with you.
Right.
The pleasure. I remember to this second what it was like to jump into the water. I will never forget it. It will always be with me. It was a wonderful moment. So I thought about the big picture. Maybe we cannot do that every time and stepping into something with anxiety because right. a dog could be coming at us or it could be, but I stepped into that because that moment allowed me to, and maybe there was something that I did in my head that I was not really even thinking of, but it was certainly being present. And that took all of my focus and concentration. So I was present in the moment and I thought of the big picture. Those are the strategies that I used.
That's awesome. That's a very positive example of confirmation bias, because what I noticed that people with anxiety, they tend to have the negative aspect of confirmation bias. So they think that, you know what, I know this person doesn't like me, or I know I'm going to be late, so why should I bother? And then sure enough, they're late, and then when right. they're late, they say, I knew it was going to happen. So they look for instances or occurrences that would match their belief system.
Right.
Which is exactly what you did, but on the positive side.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I match my belief system. You're right. And here we are, yes. 33 years later, married, still holding hands. One of the things that we do very often. So I guess that's what calms me in my anxiety. I want to say that this was so far an amazing topic, and I feel like we could go on, and I believe that we could certainly take this to the next level, and perhaps we can do that offline and together and come up with a sequel to this. Maybe there's something to be said for digging deep into anxiety and the different approaches that we have. Maybe we can come up with that together and decide how
I would love a sequel.
Yes. So would I. What do you say, Dr. Energy?
I'd say that would be great. And I think that for this time, we should give our guest the last word, as it were.
Yes. Gloria, please give us something in our audience, something that you would like them to know. And there's a second part, if we can do that. Could you also give us one of your takeaways from tonight's show, Gloria?
One of the takeaways from tonight's show that I got is what I said in the beginning, we should talk about this more often. Because in talking about this on this show, we discovered so many, like I discovered other strategies that I could use. And I realized that I am not the only one who has ever been anxious, that it caused me to stop in my life and think, what is happening? So again, we need to talk about this. So for our audience who are listening in, find someone you trust who you can talk to about this, and this person be your accountable partner, because anxiety disorders are treatable, but you have to take some part, do your part in getting healed or getting the problem solved. So talk about it with someone that you trust, not any and everybody, but someone you trust. And let them be your accountable partner.
Gloria Pierre, thank you so much for being our guest tonight and for being our friend and for sharing your wonderful story with us and our audience. And thank you for agreeing to a sequel. That means a lot to us.
Yes. Look forward to the sequel.
Yes, me too. This was exciting. This wasn't as anxious. I didn't have as much anxiety as I thought.
So to be continued, yes.
Excellent.
To be continued, definitely. And again, thank you for the opportunity. I truly appreciate it.
And we appreciate you for being on.
Yes. Thank you. We're grateful that you're here with us. Thank you, Gloria.
You are very welcome.
We just heard from Gloria what her takeaway was this evening. I'm curious to know, Catherine, what is your takeaway from this evening?
Okay. Well, thank you for asking. This is our BU final moment. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay. The reason why I asked is I had a different takeaway as well. So I wanted to clarify. So I might tell you both.
Sure.
Okay. My BU takeaway from tonight's show with our awesome guest, Gloria, and what you said tonight. Thank you so much. It really opened my eyes. I felt that we really opened up. It's that being anxious is an emotion, but being trusting is a way of life.
I like that. Pause for thought on that one.
Thank you. And the other takeaway, that it was not a BU moment, but the other takeaway that I had is I found myself doing a timeline when you were talking about when you decided to move and when you actually moved. I was trying to figure out, my mind was like, wait a minute, the weather was like that. And when did you decide? And I was trying to put myself in your position, thinking, was I there? Did I know that? You know, I started to get all into my head about it. And that was my other takeaway, was that I was being a little bit of a nosy body about that, but I didn't realize that I would do that. So I was just trying to figure it all out. I just wanted to let you know I learned something about myself when you told that story. That's
cool. Isn't it amazing how the power of story can do that? Like it just, how we can connect and start thinking, oh, you try to put together the pieces, and it's kind of fun.
It is. And when you described the weather and what it was like outside, I thought, oh, you said weather like that. Was it this time of year? I had to go right into figuring it out. It was amazing how you brought me right in, the true Toastmaster that you are. You brought me right into that moment. And I was trying to figure out, was it September or October of last year or 2 years ago? So yeah, actually not last year. But. So thank you for that. That was my additional takeaway. What about your BU? Final moment.
As I mentioned about when Gloria was talking about anxiety, about how anxiety is sort of, we get outside of ourselves into the future, we start worrying about what might happen. I was kind of thinking, well, what happens when we, instead of going into the future and getting all anxious about things, about what might happen, what happens when we cast our mind backwards into the past? Instead of being in the moment. And I realized that one of my mentors had shared with me that that's kind of where depression comes from. It's like a spectrum from depression to anxiety. We can be anywhere on that spectrum. Depression, we tend to think about the past, what happened to us, who crossed our boundaries, who are we still angry at 20, 30 years later after the fact? What are we carrying around with us and still dragging behind us instead of being able to let it go? And staying in the moment, and just the different strategies that everybody shared for staying present in the moment, how powerful that is when we stay in the moment and can be present, how liberating that is, and can then alleviate some of the anxiety, or in the case of the past, some of the depression. And then we can take action from the now.
Yes, we did have a great sharing. There was some amazing connection there between the three of us, because it was as if there was no one else there. We were open, very willing to share our strategies and anxiety, which was not anxiety in itself. It was strategy about anxiety. Mm-hmm. I don't believe any of us had that sense in our voice.
Yeah, I think we were all three of us were fairly, not fairly, I think all three of us were quite present in the moment. And it was just like you said, it was just three of us having a great conversation. And I think that's very powerful in helping all of us connect and realize that we're not alone, that there's other people out there going through the same things.
And as you said earlier, conversations worth having.
Exactly. So excellent. Well, thank you for sharing that. That was, again, another great show.
And who said that? Great show. There was a special actor who says that.
That was a really great show.
Yeah, it wasn't an actor. It was a host, of course. It was Ed
The
Sullivan.
Tonight Show, the original Tonight Show, the original host.
Right?
Yes. Do you remember his name?
Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan Show, exactly.
Now that shows a little bit of my age there, but yeah, he did it with that famous What did he do? He put his hands up.
Put his hands together and said, "A really big show."
That was great. Okay, so that's what we had tonight, a really big show in honor and in memory of Ed Sullivan.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us again, where conversations worth having are on BU Network Podcast. Please leave us a review of our podcast on Apple. Thank you.
For show notes and links, go to www.b-u.network/podcast. Connect with us via our website, www.b-u.network, or build a relationship with us. Sign up to receive information, updates, and your free video training at www.b-u.network/pro. Find out when our online courses, trainings, and presentations go live, and our face-to-face live events in 2020 in Toronto and Ottawa, Ontario.
We're looking forward to hearing from you, and thank you for being with us. Ciao.
Ciao, babies.